Hello and welcome to the as yet unnamed London Theatre Podcast for the 12th of February 2012. My name's TRP Watson, and this week I'm joined by Phil from the West End Whingers, Webcow Girl, Glenn Pierce, and Rev Stan. We're going to start by talking about Singing in the Rain at the Palace Theatre. This is a new version of the classic film musical that was, I believe, first brought onto the stage in 82 or 83, in the West End rather than on Broadway. This version was done at the Chichester Festival Theatre during the summer, and stars Adam Cooper, Scarlett Strallen, and Daniel Crosley as Don Lockwood, Kathy Selton, and Cosmo Brown. This is... I have a little bit of difficulty with talking about this because I don't go to enough musicals. So I know this film, I know the film very well, and I like it a lot, but I found myself saying, well, am I expecting too much of this musical? Being a little bit disappointed in one or two things, and really not feeling it, not really getting it, not really feeling feeling the love for this musical, and coming away rather disappointed. Although a lot of people around me, of course, were absolutely rapt, thought it was wonderful, and they got a standing ovation on the night I went. So I have to say that I felt that I probably am completely the wrong person to be even speaking about this. Now, my problems with this come down to, there's a couple of things. One is Adam Cooper, who, while he's a decent enough actor and singer and dancer, I just didn't feel that he stood out for me at all. It was something I almost had to keep my eye on him while he was dancing in a crowd, just in case I lost him. This didn't apply to Scarlett Strallen, who was always out there, and I thought she was really rather good. The other thing was some aspects of the choreography. There were an awful lot of sort of these slightly balletic turns where they spin with one leg sort of held out almost like an arabesque, I'm not sure of the words to describe it, but there were rather too many of them, which I found rather dull. And it was something about I think a lot of it came down to the choreography and the way that they were mounting the shows. I mean, there was one fairly early song, Make 'Em Laugh, which of course is a total classic in the film, one of the best dance sequences in the film, and also hospitalised Donald O'Connor in the film afterwards. It was really very, very low-key. I found it very low-key. I didn't find it funny. I didn't find it particularly energetic. And they, of course, don't do the famous backflip off the wall stunt. But again, if Donald O'Connor was hospitalised after doing it, it's not something to do. But I believe when they first did it in the West End, Roy Castle played Cosmo, and he did it every night. So it can be done, but it's obviously a risk if you don't feel like doing that sort of thing. And it actually contrasted rather with a later song, Moses Supposes, which is a sort of fairly minor song within the musical, but in this it was full of exactly the kind of comedy and energy that I wanted to see in Make 'Em Laugh. And it was so I just couldn't understand why you didn't get it, unless the choreographer was felt that he could play with the minor songs, but he couldn't play with the big songs. And you got this thing, that feeling with things like Singing in the Rain, where it's an okay portrayal. It delighted the audience, especially the front three rows who get splashed with chlorinated water throughout that song. But it was just sort of going through the motions, and it almost felt the same with Good Morning, another classic routine from the film. Yeah, it was well done, it was well performed, but it just lacks that kind of improvisational energy that they had in the film. And I did wonder, well, okay, you know, I'm looking at this through the film lens, and am I really right to? And I think that kept bothering me throughout this. As I said, nobody else seemed to mind. Everybody else seemed to be having a really good time around me. So I'm probably just miserable and don't know enough about musicals and how they have to be staged, rather than the film version. So, Phil, was I right?
Yeah, to a certain extent. It's funny because Act One is very long. It's about an hour and a half because it has to be, because it ends with the Singing in the Rain number and there's lots of rain, and the rain is pretty spectacular, I have to say. And then there's a huge amount of mopping up at the interval, which is quite fascinating to watch if you stay around in the auditorium. It took about halfway through Act One for it to start kicking in. It was kind of too stark at the beginning. I thought it was very lackluster. I just couldn't really engage with it at all. And it's funny, Andrew and I had exactly the same moment where we suddenly sort of perked up and started paying attention during the Make 'em Laugh number, when Daniel Crossley playing Cosmo did a rather good bit of mime with a suitcase, which he did it so well, but you sort of thought, I'm going to give this another chance. By the interval, it was about 3 stars, but by the end, it was 4 stars for us, because it sort of, I don't know, I sort of got into the story, and yes, I know the film really well, and it's probably the best musical ever. It's kind of a sum of its parts. I think Adam Cooper has a certain charm, and of course he dances well, but his singing voice is not really strong enough. I mean, you sort of think you wouldn't really get away with this on Broadway. I thought Lena Lamont was hilarious. Catherine Kingsley was hilarious as Lena Lamont, just as she should be. The excerpts from the film they're making are very funny. The bits where she's being dubbed and she's trying to find the microphone are very funny. But the standout for me in the show was Scarlett Strallen, who I thought was absolutely charming and engaging and sang beautifully. And whilst making it seem effortless, I thought she really, really stood out for me. And ultimately, I came away sort of quite happy. I also thought that the curtain call was one of the best curtain calls I've ever seen. It's very uplifting. But the problem in Act Two is that it's got reprises of a couple of the songs, and it's got the really tedious Broadway melody, which just goes on and on. Which it's the same in the film. It's the bit in the film that I really don't particularly want to watch. I'm not.
Yeah, I always get up and have a cup of tea during that bit in the film.
Yeah,
but I thought this was better done than the film. Actually,
it was well done, but it was. It just sort of slows down the story, but you'd have a very short act too if you didn't have it in there. So,
Tim, I've totally taken your part on this, and if I was giving it stars out of 5, I would have given it a 2, Phil, because it just kind of broke my heart a little bit. I'm actually not that familiar with the movie. The last time I watched it was in Please Don't Hit Me, the 80s. So it's a very distant memory for me. But I found this musical utterly lacking in sparkle. And my recollection of it is something that sends me out of the streets just shimmering with excitement and energy, and it just wasn't there the night I saw it, and I don't see how they could dub it back in. I also thought the woman who played Lena was outstanding, as was the fellow who played Cosmo. But the thing is, Adam should have been amazing. I shouldn't have been able to tear my eyes off of him. And instead, he was wooden. He was a singing and dancing Ken doll. You know, he had no charisma at all. And now, you know, Scarlett definitely had charisma, but I just don't understand, you know, were they just trying too hard to play, you know, Gene Kelly or Debbie Reynolds being, you know, the characters, instead of letting their own natural star quality shine through? I didn't see it. And I was disappointed because, frankly, a whole musical that's built around one number, it's just not enough to fill a night for me. And, you know, Make Him Laugh didn't even make me, you know, quirk a lip. And that's just heartbreaking. So it was very disappointing, and I was glad I was able to get in on semi-cheap seats, by which I mean some that cost three times as much as I normally pay for a show. That's me. Glenn, you know, I would have cut a little more slack, except that it's been fully performed many times by, you know, the same cast, so in my mind, I can't give it any excuses. What's your take?
Yeah, Glenn, you saw it in Chichester, of course, and you haven't seen it in the West End. Yeah,
I haven't seen it in the West End, and having seen it in Chichester, nothing would drag me back to see it in the West End, I have to say. I agree with most of the points it made so far. I found it tediously dull. I got to the stage in Chichester in the interval and really debated leaving. I found it that dull. I did stay for the second act, and yeah, I was glad I did see it all the way through. For me, it's a collection of set show numbers that, you know, slightly redeem the show. The big song and dance numbers work, but the rest of it is very clunky, very slow, and it just, for me, as most other people have said, it didn't have that pizzazz. I've been puzzled by reading the five-star reviews for it. I can't see what other people have seen in it to give it that sort of rave that it's had. The singing and the dance title number, great. There's some other, say the big song and dance numbers work. But in between it, you've got really long periods where you're sitting there thinking, come on, let's do something. Really disappointed. I don't think I can really add much more to what everyone else has said. I mean, I say I did see it back in July, so it has gone slightly from the memory, but I'm surprised it transferred in. I know it had rave reviews, but I think there's better productions that could be in the West End.
To me, it formed like a really strong contrast with Matilda, and the reason why, even though I'm not like, Matilda, you know, the second coming, whatever, is that Matilda had the energy and drive of the originality behind it. And this had the, to me, the sort of feeling of not so much leftovers, but, you know, just a trip through the wax museum where you're trying to recreate what an actual person is like by having something that looks just like them but doesn't move, doesn't talk. And
I
feel like if they had actually just maybe taken some of the songs and then tried to create something that was truly new and fresh, that they could have come up with something that was brilliant. On the other hand, Phil, you still loved it.
Well, as I say, it took a while because I was like, yeah, I was thinking it was two stars at the beginning. It just wasn't coming over. I suspect it comes over better in the Palace than it did at Chichester, because the Chichester Theatre is so huge and you can be a long way from the stage, and the stage is massive. It's probably tighter, I think, on the Palace stage, which I think it actually looked quite good a lot of the time. But it was too slow getting going, and I think they've got a real problem with the first half of the first act. I mean, you obviously think there's got a problem with the whole of it, but I enjoyed some of the particularly Strallen and Kingsley. I thought the women were much stronger than the men. There was one bit, and I know this was a preview, but as you say, they've been doing it at Chichester for a long time, and there may be different cast members, I don't know, but in the Beautiful Girls number, when they're dancing on top of the aeroplane, the aviators, the male dancers in front, were all over the place. They weren't in step at all, and it was and you thought, hang on, you've been rehearsing, you should at least be in step. You know, it was shambolic, but I assume they'll have that sorted out. But why it should be that bad at this stage? But having said that, I did like a lot of the choreography. There's plenty of tap dancing, which is, you know, I love seeing tap on stage. And yeah, on the whole, in the end, it worked for me.
But he's slightly worrying that.
So let's go see Top Hat together when it comes to town.
Yeah, well, that'll be another Strallen doing another, you know, iconic movie musical. So that'll be an interesting contrast.
The Strallen hold on the West End.
Yeah.
They're so fantastic. Glenn, what were you going to say?
I just think it's interesting that, you know, we're all saying that Act 1 there's problems with pace, and you know, you just wonder why it's been running since, you know, June, July in Chichester, ran for a while, and then Sporting, why they've not tackled that. Yes, it's partly down to the source material and the structure, but it sounds like even the sort of you know, directorial pace of it hasn't improved. And just,
you know what, Thad, I sat there watching this thinking that I had enjoyed The Artist 100 times more than I had enjoyed a live performance. And it was basically like the same things, but done with wit and originality. And I didn't see that on the stage.
One thing I will add
on Tuesday night at all.
Yeah. Did you go on? Did you say you went on Tuesday?
Yeah.
We were there on Tuesday. And well, I don't know if you had the same problem. I mean, one of the problems with the first half hour was Mondays and Tuesdays, for some reason, they're doing early 7 o'clock. And there were so many latecomers who were, and we were sitting towards the back of the stalls, and they were held at sort of in a, you know, latecomers' pen by the ushers, and they were talking. I mean, the ushers actually were doing most of the talking, and I had to turn around.
Yeah, I was one of those people, and the ushers were gobby.
I had to shush them up, which is pretty outrageous. And then they were all coming in, and there was also, I think, because there's quite an elderly audience for this, they weren't making it through an hour and a half without a toilet break. And there were several people got up and pushed their way along a row and went out to the toilet and then came back. And there was a lot of rustling of sweet bags because, again, it's that kind of a show. So it was very distracting. But the late thing, I think, they're going to have to tackle. They're going to have to let people, you know, make sure people know when it starts.
I blew it. I was one of those people, but I was not talking.
Yeah.
So I was standing right behind you for a while. I feel like this play is probably aimed towards, you know, the silver-haired coach crowd, and they will love its comfort and familiarity. And I don't know how long you can fill the palace with people like that, but I think you'll have to figure out how to handle the toilet breaks because you're going to need them.
It's probably all that running water as well doesn't help.
Okay, we're now going to talk about the new play at the Trafalgar Studios 2. This is Sex with a Stranger and stars Russell Tovey. This is written by Stefan Goloshevsky, who is the writer of the sitcom Him and Her, and is part of the Cowards comedy troupe, the four people, and people like Tim Key and Tom Basden are all also sort of constant members of the sort of performing and comedy world at the moment. And of course, Stefan Goloshevsky was, I believe, president of Footlights in 2002-03. So he's rather talented. I saw his. He did a couple of thing of short plays. Was one of the last things they did at the Bush Theatre, and he was depressingly talented. Now, what is this like, Glenn?
Possibly not his finest hour. I had real issues. I saw this last night, and it's one that's been rumbling around in my mind since, and I'm still sort of debating it in my head. I think this is one of those shows that you need to separate out the play itself and the performances. Let's start with the performances. It's really finely acted. Obviously, Trafalgar 2 space, very intimate, and quite often, if you're sitting like myself was last night on the front row, it's not particularly forgiving if you're not a convincing actor. But the performances last night are very good. Russell Tovey, as perhaps, you know, he's now moved, you know, mainly into TV from his sort of theatrical background, obviously very used to working with a camera up close. So it's lots of very subtle facial inflection, movements, and really sort of conveying lots of emotion with very intimate, very detailed performances, and it works really well in that space. If you're perhaps on, I was luckily on the front in the centre, I'm not sure if you're on the sides at the Trafalgar in the back how much it would work, because a lot of it is played out front. Also really fine performances from the two female performers in the cast, Jamie Winston and Naomi Sheldon. The plot, it's a three-hander. It's about a chap called Adam who, after a night's clubbing, ends up heading back to Grace's house, Grace played by Jamie Winston. They end up on the night bus with that awkward small talk that people make and end up going back to her house for a one-night stand. Oh, yeah, fine. Nothing particularly groundbreaking about that. Then we discover that Adam's actually in a relationship with Ruth, played by Naomi Sheldon. And the play's not linear. It jumps back and forth. So we see Ruth preparing, doing Adam's ironing before he goes out on the night. We see the meeting years ago. So there's something not quite right. You know, why is Adam having this extramarital affair? What's gone wrong with the relationship? And we see it deteriorate slightly, but the problem with the play is we don't really get to understand quite why Adam's going down this route, why he's leaving Ruth and going off for some illicit fun. The writing is, in a way, very televisual. They have lots of rapid, short-fire scenes. You've got scenes that last 10, 15 seconds at the most before we jump onto something else. So in a way, you can imagine it being filmed and cut in and out. And there's some nice observations in the writing. It's you know, anyone that's been in a relationship or in a relationship now will be able to, you know, spot things that, you know, ring true and ring home. But as a dramatic piece, it doesn't actually go anywhere. And it doesn't, at the end of it, you just think, okay, that was a nice acting masterclass. There's some nice witty lines in it. But overall, what does it tell you? Why is it there? And the overall feeling I've had of it, and I've been trying to sort of work out what it seems to me more like that a drama school has set three students half an hour, go off, create an improvisation around a two-way relationship and come back. And that's what, it, in a way, it seems. It's not, for me, a fully formed play. It's only an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes, played straight through without an interval, so it is quite short. But this is just not enough meat on the bones for me. Go, yes, to admire the acting and the performances. Go to sort of enjoy some really, you know, odd lines that are really well written and well observed. But for a cohesive play, doesn't really work.
Okay, we are now going to talk about The Bee, which has just closed at the Soho Theatre in 2006. Certainly the same people. This is a play by Hideki Noda, and it's translated by Colin Teevan. It's based on a story from 1973 by Yatsutaka Tsui, I think. That's how it is. It stars Catherine Hunter and Hideki Noda in the two roles, and I saw this 2006. I mean, this is virtually the same as it was before, and it concerns a businessman played by Catherine Hunter who comes home one evening to find that a criminal has locked himself into the businessman's apartment, holding his wife and child hostage. So he decides, somewhat randomly, to go round to the criminal's house and hold his girlfriend and son hostage. And it becomes a game of, wits, a game of increasing tension and dismemberment, I suppose we should say, between them. It's rather effectively done, and you do cringe whenever they sort of bring the pencils out, which represent the child's fingers, and they slowly get.
You're broken. Giving so much
so,
away.
Well, yes, I'm sorry, but it's a. I mean, it is disturbing, and also, it, you know, it has just closed, but it is touring around, although it is touring internationally. So, Rev Stan, what did you think about this play?
I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it's a one-act play. It's very provocative, but for all the right reasons, because it creates a lot of discussion afterwards. I went with my friend Polly, and she was quite depressed by it. The whole idea of the victim turning aggressor, she thought that was quite kind of depressing, thinking about what hope is there if we all sort of, you know, become like the criminals. But for me, I didn't find that. I thought it was actually kind of reassuring, because it was sort of almost like reiterating that we aren't like that, that we aren't all like criminals. We don't all become like criminals when we're sort of faced with criminal acts. So for me, it was reassuring, but I thought there were some really, really interesting elements. One thing, you mentioned that Catherine Hunter plays the husband. Now, the criminal's girlfriend is played by Noda. So you've got gender swapping there, and they're both really, really convincing, sort of as the opposite sex. But it creates lots of interesting dynamics in what actually goes on when you've got you've already kind of spoiled a lot of the stuff goes on, but there's a rape scene in it, but you've got a woman dressed as a man raping a man dressed as a woman, which I thought sort of threw up all sorts of interesting ideas, and I think it really, really works with all sort of swapping those roles, because it challenges a lot of common perception about things. And I thought it was very, very, very well done. It was very well staged. There's some really simple, simple little staging devices that they used, and simple props. They used elastic bands a lot, which was quite interesting. First of all, sort of as police cordons, and tying the businessman up in knots when he realizes what's happening, what's going on in his apartment. And then the elastic bands become noodles, and there's lots of sort of eating that goes on at various stages through the play, and they're all sort of eating these elastic bands, which work brilliantly as noodles. So if any production companies out there are looking for a cheap alternative to noodles in a play, elastic bands is the way to go. And there's all sorts of other little devices. You've mentioned the pencils as fingers, which again was really, really effective. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great piece of theatre. It was very thought-provoking and provocative and interestingly done.
Yeah, it did surprise me. One of the things that I kept wondering, and I had to go back and look it up, was I just wondered if it was true. I mean, it's based on a short story, but I did sort of look around to see if there was any something like this, because I wouldn't put it past, somehow I wouldn't put it past the Japanese, and it did feel very authentic. You know, there was something very real about the way the way it was done, as if they were telling this sort of true crime story.
Yes,
and I was very tempted and almost hoping that something as disturbing as this had happened.
It wouldn't surprise me, and that's another thing I liked about it. I mean, obviously Noda is who directed it as well, and he's obviously Japanese, but it really had a Japanese feel to it. If you've ever seen any Japanese films or Japanese cinema or any other Japanese theatre, it just really had a feel of that sort of cultural feel of Japan about it. A lot of that was done, I think, in the movement. Catherine Hunter is very, very good at taking on sort of like the physical form of the people that she's playing, not just sort of like presenting the character through the script and the words and how she says them. She's very good. She's a very good physical actress, and I thought she really brought out that sort of element of the fact that it is a Japanese story set in Japan, which I like, because it felt like you'd gone to another place. It felt like you were in Japan watching this story going on.
You can find us at AYULTP on Twitter, on the as yet unnamed London Theatre podcast page in Facebook, on the web we are ayu-londontheatre.org, and this podcast can also be found on iTunes, where you can leave a review. Thank you. Goodbye.